You're listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282 BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220 HR Hood River on 91.9 FM.
You can follow KBOO on all your social media platforms. Just look for KBOO on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube. Get access to our new content and news, as well as special offers and contests. Like and share your favorite community radio station, KBOO.
Welcome to An Islamic Point of View, a production of the Muslim Community Center of Portland and this station. MCCP is pleased to announce that this coming Friday, April 9th, we'll be hosting Sheikh Qasim Hatem and his wife, Ustada Amina, for an evening talk about the spiritual dimensions of Ramadan. Last year, Sheikh Qasim was able to visit our community, and we were honored to be able to sit down with him in the studios at KBOO for a special interview. Here today for our broadcast is a replay of that interview. Welcome to An Islamic Point of View. I'm here in the studio with Sheikh Qasim Hatem. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
It's been a pleasure to have you here the last day, speaking at OSHU and Masjid Bilal. And we're sitting down in the production room today just briefly to share some of your insights for our audience here at the Islamic Point of View program. And, I mean, many of you can look up your story, Sheikh. You're kind of well-known here from being in Seattle and having come from a little bit of a football story. I happen to be from the Eastern Washington region myself, Spokane, where you played some football back in the day. And so, I mean, just one of the things that you were sharing was how it's like to transition from being born Muslim into actually practicing Islam, becoming a sheikh. Mm-hmm. I mean, going from football to a sheikh is quite the story right there. Mm-hmm. And having done that in a way from kind of the redneck areas of America, just would like to hear some about that. Because for like myself, I'm a convert, and having been born in that area, transitioning to Islam is quite a thing, and it doesn't happen very often. And some people, when they hear about this, it's like, oh, how did this happen? They often want to hear our stories. Mm-hmm. So if you could just briefly share some of your story for us.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalam ala Sayyidina Muhammadin, Ashraf Anbiya wa Sayyidina Mursaleen. Alhamdulillah, thank you for having me on this radio show. May Allah bless you and all the listeners, inshallah. Alhamdulillah, I was born in Cedar Rapids, Iowa in 1980 and grew up kind of like any other American kid. We weren't necessarily practicing in Islam and religious, although I was born Muslim, alhamdulillah. And, you know, I just went to public schools, I played sports, I had a lot of non-Muslim friends, that was the majority. I was not known for its diversity. And then, alhamdulillah, you know, went to Chicago, lived there for a couple years, then to Spokane, Washington, which was also not very diverse, and it was hard being a Muslim because sometimes I was the only one in my school. Although I come from a Lebanese community in Cedar Rapids, which is one of the oldest from Lebanon in America, and you know, my great-grandfather built the first and oldest still-standing masjid called the Mother Mosque of America in Cedar Rapids, which is currently like a museum, but was initially a mosque. So alhamdulillah, you know, from that tradition, Came to then Spokane, and then Spokane, went to school, and then played more sports, track, football, basketball, got a full ride scholarship to University of Washington for football, and played there for about 3 or 4 years. And we won the Rose Bowl in 2001 against Purdue, and then graduated in psychology from there. And then after that, went to study in Yemen for 7 years, a year after graduation, and then came back and served the community, was teaching and calling and inviting to law, serving. And then I went back to school for 3 years to go get a master's degree in transformational leadership. And then have been running, working with Mihrab Foundation, executive director, and then also resident scholar, now just the teacher, resident scholar there. And then, you know, obviously came here to visit you guys and meet your community. Alhamdulillah, it was difficult, you know, but I would say it was a good experience for me because I can relate to people in America that may not be Muslim or may not be practicing Islam, because that's kind of how I was and that's where I came out of. And so it's interesting, kind of a story where my mindset growing up was, you know, just to, you know, live in this world, materialism, to make a lot of money, to be famous, to be on TV, to go to the NFL. And I was about to go early, so I was going to leave my junior year because I started as a redshirt sophomore, and I was going to go, not even graduate. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed me with what might be considered a blessing in disguise of a pulmonary embolism, which is a blood clot in the lungs, that made me rethink who I am, where I came from, and where I'm going. And I realized that I am fragile and weak, and I'm not invincible like I thought I was at 21 years old, coming off of Rose Bowl, all that. And I pondered over these things and made a decision not to continue playing this sport that might kill me, and that there are more important things in life, although I still like football. And I decided to finish school and then go study Arabic just for 1 year. And I fell in love with the people and the place and the character and the knowledge in Yemen. And so I stayed there year after year, which was supposed to be each year my last year. 7 years later, I pretty much got, I was told to come back here and give da'wah and teach and help people and stuff like that. So that's kind of the story. There's a lot more to it, football of faith. But I think in a nutshell, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides alone. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He, through certain things in my life, whether there's an injury or sickness, whether it's meeting certain people, whether it was books I read, whether it was being inspired by, you know, videos or radio or podcasts or whatnot, and it was also that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I think, took me from what was a temporal, materialistic, worldly direction to an eternal, you know, infinite, happy, content direction, inshallah, in the akhirah, in the next life, instead of just this life. Allah took me in a direction towards the next life, and inshallah, in paradise. So this is what, you know, really changed me a lot in terms of changing from one to the next. And of course, guidance is from Allah alone. And I tell people now, I wouldn't, even though I exchanged my helmet for a kufi, you know, skull cap, and my shoulder pads for a robe and jubba, I wouldn't exchange any of that for my pads or to play again. I wouldn't exchange my sunnah ring that I wear, that's silver, for my gold Rose Bowl ring, you know, that's huge and shiny and bling bling and this and that. So I wouldn't change that, because this is the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is what I love, and this is what I'm attached to, and this is what I realize now is what really is fulfilling spiritually, contentment in the heart, and kind of like fills a void or emptiness that people might have, because they're searching for the right thing and sometimes the wrong place. And I was searching for the right thing, but in the wrong places. And we have to search for the right thing in the right places. And then that ultimately will bring contentment, happiness, gratitude, and peace. And that's what Islam does. And that's what Islam does for me. And I needed that when I thought I needed something else. And that's not going to give you what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can.
Alhamdulillah. It's a beautiful insight. Thank you, Sheikh, for sharing that.
Alhamdulillah.
So one of the reasons that you came down here was to speak at OHSU yesterday. And in that talk, there was one thing that struck out to me about how you said that the visiting of the sick and the needy as a fard kifaya mm-hmm. for our community. Mm-hmm. Can you share some more about that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a chaplain of several hospitals in Seattle as a volunteer, you know, kind of on call. And visiting the sick is a right that our brothers and sisters have over us. And so it's not something where it's, you know, like it's just we're doing them a favor. It's something that we're obligated to do. And it's a fard kifaya, which means it's a communal obligation. And that's defined as if nobody does it, then everyone sins. The whole community sins if nobody's doing the fard kifaya. But if a sufficient amount does it, and even if it's one person, if that's all it takes, then nobody sins. It falls from everybody. So it's not a personal obligation, but a communal one. And it's really important because it means a lot to the patients when they're sick, when they're weak, when they're vulnerable, that you go in there and you comfort them, you make dua for them, you pray for them, you read Quran, you answer any questions, you comfort the family and support them. So these are really, really important steps. And we have people that, like for example, Harborview is a trauma hospital. So a lot of people fly in from all over. And we have converts that fly in from like Alaska or, you know, even from the East. And, you know, they don't have any family support. Nobody knows they're in the hospital from our communities. They don't know anybody in our community. And they're just there. And so somebody needs to visit them. And this is something that, you know, I tell our community that we either have to be doing this work or supporting those who are. It's one or the other. And when I go in there and I see, I'll go to the hospitals as a volunteer Muslim chaplain, and I'll see that there's a full-time rabbi, a full-time priest, full-time reverend, full-time Buddhist, you know, the monk. They're full-time other religions that are there. And sometimes I'll ask, like, how are you guys doing all this? Because some of them are not employees of the hospital. Some are, some are not. So how are you guys doing all this? Well, you mean your community doesn't support you guys in this? You guys don't have somebody in your community that does that? And I said, no, unfortunately, we don't. We're a little bit behind as a community. And so we have to, you know, provide and support those that, like, their full-time job is to go around and visit patients in the hospital or in the prisons, for that matter. So, you know, this is something where, you know, other communities are doing it, other religions are doing it. We got to kind of catch up and be able to offer that support for these patients and their families and fulfilling this fard kifaya, the right they have over us. And it's like the five rights of any brother over any brother or sister over sister, which is if they say salam alaikum, you say wa alaikum salam. If they sneeze and say alhamdulillah, you say yarhamak Allah, right? It's one of those, if they invite you to a wedding, that if you're able to, you respond to the wedding. If they die, that you pray over them in the janazah process and funeral prayer. Well, then the fifth one is what? The fifth one is if they're sick, that you visit them. So this is not something that we actually have much choices in. It's something we have to do.
Alhamdulillah. Yeah, and inshallah, this is something we can do, is build more community engagement here in Portland so that we can actually be fulfilling these obligations.
Right.
And I know at Bilal last night, you were talking about building love, not just in ourselves, but in our community. And could you share some more about that? Because I think this really is integral in order to fulfill these obligations, not just in terms of the ones for the sick and needy, but all of our obligations spiritually in terms of our fasting, our prayer, our zakat. If we don't have love in ourselves, then it makes it difficult in order to fulfill just any basic obligation.
Right. And the basis of Islam is love and mercy. That's what our foundations of our faith are. And we first and foremost have a love of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, glory be to Him. And we have then after that love of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace and blessings be upon him. And then we have love for the companions and for the family of the Prophet Muhammad and each other as an ummah. And to understand that, it requires that we first have love of Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so then we can branch out and love each other. And this is something where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of His 99 names is Al-Wadud. Al-Wadud means the loving. You know, He's Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, the most merciful, the most compassionate. And we need to take the characteristics of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has for Himself in a human sense for ourselves, that we should be loving, that we should be merciful, that we should be compassionate, we should be empathetic, and there's a lot of qualities. And how do we understand that in a human sense? We understand that through the character, the life, and the legacy of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How else are we going to know? That's how we can relate to him. He's a human being. He's the greatest human being. And he's the most beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know. And he then must be most beloved to us. Because if he's Habib al-Rahman, the most beloved to the most merciful, then he should also, if we love Allah, then he should be the most beloved to us out of creation. And this is something that should drive us to follow his sunnah, his way, his tradition, the way he worshipped, and his character, his mannerisms, the way he interacted with people, engaged with them. You know, he says, for example, Sali kama ra'aytumuni usalli, pray as you see me pray. He didn't say, like, pray as you read the Quran, because in the Quran, it doesn't actually tell you how to pray. It tells you to pray, establish regular prayer, aqimu salat. It doesn't say how to pray. The way you know that is through the Prophet Muhammad's sunnah, his tradition. And he says, for example, بَلِّغُ أَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةٍ, convey from me, and even if it's one verse. He didn't say convey from Allah directly in the Quran. He said convey from, so it's through him. He's the door to Allah, to understand Allah, to know Allah, the path that leads to Allah. And so it is through him that we know how to pray. It is through him that we know how to understand the Quran, interpret it, and so forth. So this is super important. And this is all about that attachment and yearning for him, as well as, of course, most importantly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are three main reasons why people love something or someone, as the scholars say. They say the number one reason, of course, is there's the inward beauty, the outward beauty, and then there is the favors that they bestow upon you. And so obviously, when we look in a created sense, that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is and will always be the most beautiful of all creation. And he was described as being his face like the full moon on a dark night. It was illuminated and radiant, right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he indicates this in the Quran when he says, Ya ayyuhun nabi, inna arsalnakum shahidan wa mubashiran wa nadhira wa da'ina Allah bi idhni wa sirajan munira. O Prophet, we have sent you as a warner, as a bringer of glad tidings, as a da'i, as a caller to Allah by his permission, and a radiant lamp. So it's like an illuminated radiant lamp that shines, that guides from darkness into light, from ignorance into knowledge, from misguidance to guidance, and from falsehood to truth. And so the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, by Allah's permission and grace, does this. And there was nothing that, you know, the Sahaba say, like, you know, we said that, you know, it was like the shining of the swords, you know, in the battles. That's how what his face looked like. Like as if the sun revolves in his face, the sunrise. And he was very perfectly proportioned and balanced and beautiful in every way, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Inward beauty, even more beautiful. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was known for his impeccable character. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises him in the Quran with his eternal speech, which has no beginning, no end. Permanently in the Quran, he says, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ, and you are indeed you are upon a noble character. It means above and beyond. You are upon this great character that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed you with. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, he would say, Allahumma kama ahsanta khalqi ahsan khulqi. You know, oh Allah, as you have beautified my outward appearance, beautify my inward appearance. And, you know, and so this is something where, you know, he says in a hadith, innama bu'ithu li utamma makarim al-akhlaq, I was only sent to perfect noble character. And our deen, a lot of it is based on how you interact and engage other people and the character that you show them, right? And so this is something where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even though, you know, he went through what he went through in his life and all the difficulties and challenges, he still was uplifting. He still was inspiring. He still was smiling. He was still, you know, trying to serve and help other people, and in many cases preferring them over himself, right? He was very selfless, sacrificial. And we're talking about how somebody who's known to smile more than anyone else, who saw heaven and hell, okay, and people in heaven and hell, who saw, you know, the future that Allah showed him from the day of judgment and what's going to happen at the end of times. Somebody who two wives of his died, including Khadija, his most beloved wife, you know, before he did, and six out of his seven children all died in his life before he did, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the only one that outlives him is Fatima Zahra, by a few months after. I mean, he knew she was going to die. She actually told her that she was going to die. She was going to meet him in Jannah shortly after his death. So somebody who faced all this difficult, not to mention all the assassination attempts and persecution and torturing his companions and all that, yeah, all that, and he still can't akthar an-nas ibtisaman. He was still the person who smiled more than anyone else. He was still someone who everyone thought they were the most beloved person to him, right? Even though that may not, you know, have been the case. But, you know, this is, you know, where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in this sense, is, you know, yani, mashallah, you know, like he's somebody that was always considerate of other people and always trying to benefit them, educate them, help them, et cetera, et cetera. So the third reason is favors. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, by Allah's permission, you know, gave us, you know, the Quran through Jibril alayhi salam. We received revelation from Allah through Jibril to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who conveyed that to his companions. That's the greatest miracle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in it, of course, we wouldn't know about Islam or heaven or hell or even about Allah or each other if we didn't have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a mercy to the universe, and also the great intercession on the Day of Judgment, which we talked about, is, you know, something he blesses, a favor bestowed upon us. And then also, you know, there's a story on the Day of Judgment where, you know, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he will, you know, Allah says in the Quran, وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَىٰ, your Lord will give you until you are pleased. Yeah, your Lord will give you until you are pleased in Surah Al-Duha. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after Allah reveals this verse, he says, وَلَا أَرْضَىٰ وَوَاحِدْ مِنْ أُمَّتِي فِي النَّارِ, I will never be pleased and one person from my ummah is in the hellfire. And so on the Day of Judgment, there will be some believers that, you know, maybe did not repent or died in a bad state that might be in Jahannam temporarily in hellfire, and then eventually even go to heaven, inshallah. But the Prophet Muhammad will come to Allah and he'll say, he'll actually make sujood and he will intercede on behalf of the believers from his ummah that are temporarily in hellfire to get them out. And Allah will say to him, irfa rasak, yani raise your head, wasal tu'ta, ask and you'll be given, washfa' tu shafa', intercede and you'll be given intercession. And he'll do this repetitively over and over again until all the believers are taken out of Jahannam and into heaven. And this is a great favor, you know, that he's, you know, by the permission of Allah, you know, saving people from the hellfire. And it's a great favor that he even begins the Day of Judgment with his great intercession. And so look at what he's given us, his sunnah, his the deen, he's brought the Quran, and so we should be grateful for that and thankful. And this is something that, you know, mashallah, that we would love him more because of that, the favors, the inward and outward beauty and perfection of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you see the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, how did they love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? How much did they love him? And, you know, and how much did he love them? Right, so he wasn't shy to say inni uhibbuk. You know, for example, he says to Mu'adh, ya Mu'adh, truly I love you. And he says, faqul ba'da kulli salat, and so say after every prayer, Allahumma inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik, say after every prayer, O Allah, assist me in your remembrance and in your gratitude and in your worship. So he doesn't just say I love you, but he brings benefit to it. I love you, but then, hey, you know, make sure that you say this too, because it'll help you in the akhirah, right? He says a hadith that's in Bukhari and Muslim, it's muttafaq alayh, it's agreed upon. He says, أحب الناس إلي عائشة ومن الرجال أبوها, that the most beloved of people to me is Aisha. This is something obviously he said in front of many companions because they all narrated it. So he's publicly stating, from the most beloved people is Aisha. Of course, Khadija is his most beloved wife, but this is after her death. And he says, now the most beloved people is Aisha, and from the men, it's her father, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. So, yani, he was not shy to do that. And, you know, they were not shy. You know, like we talked about, the man who says, ya mata sa'ya Rasulullah, when's the hour, right? And the Prophet Muhammad didn't say, oh, it's here or then. Or he says, ma'adatta laha, what did you prepare for it? And he said, ma'adatu kathira min siyam wala qiyam ghayr anni uhibbu Allah wa Rasulullah. I have not prepared much from acts of worship. You know, I haven't done much fasting or prayer. And maybe we can all say we fall short in our prayers, we fall short in fasting, we're not doing what we're supposed to or the way we're supposed to or as good, and nobody's perfect and we're human, but we're trying the best we can. And, you know, maybe he's saying, you know, I'm trying, I'm not perfect, I've done this, I've done that, I can't do this, I can't do that, or I haven't done this, or I haven't done that. And he says, غَيْرْ أَنِّي أُحِبَّ اللَّهُ رَسُولُهُ, other than the fact that I love Allah and His Messenger. And then after that, the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ says, "Anta ma'aman ahbabt." You are with the one who you love. So the goal is, if we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if we love the Sahaba, if we love the family, the Ahlul Bayt of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we will be with them inshallah in Jannah, and we will be able to gaze upon the countenance of Allah, which is the greatest pleasure in Jannah itself. All right, so that's something that in terms of love, that we would be with them if we love them and we're attached to them inshallah. And then the last part that we'll say inshallah, because I think we're going to go right, is the last one that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says is, he says, "Ishtaq ila akhwani," I yearn for my brothers, and he was sad. And so the companions, they said, "Ya Rasulullah, where your brothers were here?" And he said, "Bal la antum ashabi," you're my companions. My brothers and my sisters are those that will come after me, I mean after my death, and they will believe in me, but they won't have seen me, and they would give anything from their lives or their wealth just to capture a glimpse of me. So just to see the face of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that they would give everything they have, right, after him. And so these are the people that he yearned for. Ashtaq, I long for my brothers and sisters. That's you and I. That's his ummah. That's his followers, even 1,400 plus years later. Mm-hmm. Right? So then, shouldn't we then love him, yearn for him, love him like he loved us? You know, and so, inshallah, you know, this is the basis of our whole deen. In conclusion, it is all about muhabbah, love, mercy, and compassion. And inshallah, that embodies the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if we are his ambassadors and claim to follow him, then we should also embody these characteristics, inshallah. Jazakallah khair.
Jazakallah khair, Sheikh. It's been an honor to have you here, both today in the studio and yesterday at OSHU in Masjid Bilal.
Alhamdulillah, it's an honor.
Inshallah,
to
you can come back and visit us again. I know you're not far, just from Seattle. Right. So inshallah, we can have even broader community, regional community engagement.
I mean. Jazakallah khair. Thank you so much for having me. It's been an honor, privilege, and we are grateful for this opportunity.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
You have been listening to An Islamic Point of View here on KPOO Portland 90.7 FM. This interview we had with Sheikh Hasim Hatim was recorded right before COVID started, 1 year ago. And we are honored to be able to have Sheikh Hasim and his wife visiting our community here once again. They will be at MCCP this upcoming Friday evening, April 9th, for a talk about the spiritual dimensions of Ramadan. Time will be around 8 o'clock after the sunset evening Maghrib Salah. Sheikh Qasim's wife, Ustad Amina, will also be hosting a special sisters-only session following the Isha night prayer. If you've benefited from today's programming, please share your support with a donation at mccpdx.org and at kboo.fm. Follow the Muslim Community Center of Portland on Facebook at facebook.com/Muslim Community Center of Portland for weekly lectures, videos, and updates. Islamic Point of View airs each week here on KBOO, Sundays at 8 a.m. Thank you all for listening. Have a blessed day. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mm-hmm.
David Brower, David R. Brower, and I add the R because there are 100 other David Browers in the United States, and that keeps me separate from most of them. I like the direction you're going in, KBOO, Portland, and I wish you had a lot more company.